Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, as well as a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. As we always do, we will begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, this glorious day that you've made for us. We ask that you bless the listening audience this morning, this afternoon, and fill our hearts with joy and gladness. And that joy only comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to continue to call each of us and help us, Father, to say yes help us, Lord, to come into your fold. Lord, may these words spoken today become an impetus for us to continue to love you more and more and to follow your holy Son, Jesus. And we ask all these things in his holy name. Amen. Well, excited to be with you here in late October. What a beautiful month we have. The weather's cool and crisp, and we've got some great words. Over the last several weeks, in fact, the last 11 weeks, we've read from the remarkable words of the prophet Isaiah. And if we remember, the purpose of Isaiah was to call back the nation of Judah back to God and to tell them of God's salvation through a Messiah. Isaiah shared many words of judgment, reminding Judah and Israel of their many, many sins. And the sins are that which keeps us separated from God. And more importantly, Isaiah provided them and us with words of comfort and revealing to them and to us God's plan for a Redeemer, and that Redeemer being Jesus Christ. So what we have for the next few weeks, will be we're going to go back to the New Testament, and we're going to the Gospel of John. Really excited about this. I try to do a daily reading, and I look at several scripture verses, and it seems that there's a couple books in the Bible that most of these verses come from, and a lot of them come from John. So I'm excited to share this great word with you and the story of Jesus Christ. So the purpose of John was to prove conclusively that Jesus is the Son of God, and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. So before we get to learning a little bit more about the Gospel of John, though, I want to go back to our book, Jesus Calling. And it's in Sarah Young reads, "I am God with you for all time and throughout all eternity. Don't let the familiarity of that concept numb its impact on your consciousness. My perpetual presence with you can be a continual source of joy, springing up and flowing out in streams of abundant life. Let your mind reverberate with meanings of my names: Jesus, the Lord saves; Emmanuel, God with us. Strive to remain conscious of my presence even in your busiest moments. Talk with me about whatever delights you, whatever upsets you, whatever is on your mind. These tiny steps of daily discipline, taken one after the other, will keep you close to me and on the path of life." Matthew 1, verse 21 and 23 states, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Acts 2, verse 28, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." And as always, we thank Ms. Young for her always encouraging words. So as I said, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is the true purpose is to prove conclusively that Jesus is the Son of God and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. So the author of the book is the Apostle John, it is thought, and he wrote four other books in the Bible, three letters of John, first, second, and third letters, and also Revelation. So he was a busy apostle in the days of Christ, and then well after, recording his experiences and being open to the Word of God to record these words for us today. So the majority of the book takes place in the Judean countryside, in Samaria, in Galilee, in Bethany, in Jerusalem. And the blueprint for the book, there's three large sections, and it's the birth and preparation of Jesus, the Son of God. And that's basically chapters 1 and 2. And then second half of chapter 2 all the way through almost 13, it's the message and ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. And then starting in chapter 13 through the rest of the gospel, it's the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. So a couple comments. He spoke and galaxies whirled into place. Stars burned the heavens and planets began orbiting their suns. Words of awesome, unlimited, unleashed power. He spoke again, and the waters and the lands were filled with plants and creatures running and swimming, growing and multiplying. Words of animation, breathing, pulsing life. Again he spoke, and man and women were formed, thinking, speaking, and loving. Words of personal and creative glory. Eternal, infinite, unlimited. He was, is, and always will be the maker and Lord of all that exists. And then he came in the flesh to a speck in the universe called planet Earth. The mighty creator became a part of the creation, limited by time and space and susceptible to aging, sickness, and death. But love propelled him, and so he came to rescue and save those who were lost and to give them the gift of eternity. He is the Word. He is Jesus the Christ. It is this truth that the Apostle John brings to us in this book. John's gospel is not a life of Christ. It is a powerful argument for the incarnation and a conclusive demonstration that Jesus was and is the very heaven-sent Son of God and the only source of eternal life. John discloses Jesus' identity with his very first words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the rest of the book continues this same theme. John, the eyewitness, chose 8 of Jesus' miracles to reveal his divine human nature and his life-giving mission. These signs are turning water to wine, healing the official's son, healing the invalid at Bethesda, feeding 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish, walking on the water, restoring sight to a blind man, raising Lazarus from the dead, and after the resurrection, giving the disciples an overwhelming catch of fish. In every chapter, Jesus' deity is revealed, and Jesus' true identity is underscored through the titles he is given. The Word, the one and only, Lamb of God, Son of God, True Bread, Life, Resurrection, Vine. And the formula is, I am. When Jesus uses this phrase, he affirms his preexistence and eternal deity. Jesus says, I am the light bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. The greatest sign, of course, is the resurrection. And John provides a stirring eyewitness eyewitness account of finding the empty tomb. Then he records the various post-resurrection appearances by Jesus. John, the devoted follower of Christ, was given a personal and powerful look at Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. As you read his story, commit yourself to believe in and follow him. So let's begin. Chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives the light to every man was coming into the world. So this John that he's speaking of course, is John the Baptist. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not to the natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Let me repeat verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. By this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of one calling in the desert, making straight the way of the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with his two disciples. Then he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated into Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascend and descending on the Son of Man. Chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and that Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone jars of water, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial cleaning. Each holds from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine once the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. This is the first miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. The wine story is a really important one, and you may get a little better perspective if we better understand the culture back then. Weddings back then lasted several days, and it was a wine fest. There were and it was thought to be almost criminal not to have enough wine for the entire ceremony. So when they did run out of wine, Mary, Jesus's mother, did the family a great benefit by approaching Jesus, and Jesus then basically creating anywhere from 120 to 180 gallons of additional wine, and not just wine, the best wine, and just by his words. And again, this is the first miracle that John explains to us. Chapter 2, verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? His disciples remembered that it was written, Zeal for your house will consume me. Then the Jews demanded of him, What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this? Jesus answered, Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he was had been speaking about was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. Chapter 3. Yeah, I'll make a comment here about that last bit. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in all man. That is really something we should all embrace. God knows everything about us. He knows our joys and our sorrows. He knows our pains and our good feelings. He understands us through and out. He understands when we're good and when we're bad. He understands when we're sin and when we do good. God does not need us for his benefit. We need him for our benefit. God, Jesus did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Yeah, that's humbling. That's very, very humbling. Chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a man of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Most famous scripture ever is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly and that he has done so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. There's the secret right there. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned. Verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Aion near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friends who attend the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything into his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more into Galilee. Now he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman looked at him. "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How do you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give will be welcome in him a spring of water, welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, I am who you speak of. Well, that's all we have for today. We'll pick up next week with chapter 4, verse 27. Thank you for joining us for Reflections and the North Carolina Reading Service. Please join us next week at the same time. And please call us at 919-832-5138 with some feedback. Thank you, and may God bless you this day and every day. In Christ's name, peace.